නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස.
So today's our topic is on purification of mind. This is actually a big topic. If you summarize the Buddha's teaching, all the Buddha's teaching, it is like this. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalasa upasampada sacitta pariyodapanam etang buddhana sasanam. Do not do evil, do all the good, and purify the mind. So, three aspects of all the Buddha's teaching. Avoid evil, and do all the good, then purify the mind. So this is a very important aspect of the Buddha's teaching. The first two, is very the basic. Don't do the bad things and do the good things. But purify the mind actually is almost everything about the Buddha's teaching. So in this sense, it covers a lot. If you talk about it, purifying out the mind, it covers a very wide aspect. But this word, purification of the mind, can also have a more narrow meaning if from the point of seven purification. If we talk about seven purification, purification of virtue, purification of mind, then the second aspect, second purification, then the third, purification of view, purification by overcoming doubt, purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path, purification of by knowledge and vision of the way, and purification by knowledge and vision. So seven purification, from a point of seven purification, if you mention about purification of mind, we actually refers to the concentration achievement, basically. But if you talk about from a broader sense, purification of mind, it covers every aspect. From the point of replacing the defilements with a wholesome state, and then the suppression state, and then the eradication of the defilement state. So it covers almost everything until enlightenment. So how should we cover today's topic? So actually, a lot of things we can find in the books. So I'm thinking today, what you can find in the books, you can just check. You can just read up the text and search on the internet. You can find everything in the text. So all the terms. So it is no point. I think most of you are quite knowledgeable and learned. So no point we go into too much in details. But I would rather focus on some aspect which we easily neglect during for our meditation. I think that might be more helpful and practical. How do you think? Because what is in the books, you just read up. You don't need me to tell you all the terms. This is overcoming by opposite qualities, and this is suppression, and this is eradication. This is you can find in the books. So now, when we purify the mind, we're striving along the journey of meditation, the mind training, bhavana, mental or meditation training or mind training. When we know, when we train our mind to get the mind, make the mind powerful, why do we need that? Because we don't want suffering. We want happiness. We don't want causes of suffering. We want to cultivate causes of happiness. We know the defilements of our mind. They are all causes of suffering. So, first thing is because we want happiness, we don't want suffering. We must be very clear. If you don't have a clear idea about this purification, then you won't have the motivation. Why should I purify the mind? You know, what is wrong with an impure mind? You see, this is many people out there, non-Buddhists, they have this problem. You all work so hard to purify the mind. Why do I need that? So if they have this thought, they don't even understand why do we need to purify, then you don't have the motivation to do that. So first, we understand, because I don't want suffering. Then there are some people who say, well, I don't suffer. I'm happy. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. So I don't suffer. So then, if they can understand, a pure mind is actually a happy mind, then it's easy. They know, oh, I want to achieve purity of my mind because it produces happiness. This is one of the very important understanding and awareness. If we are aware that a pure mind gives us so much happiness and peace, then half the battle is won, I can say. Half the battle is won. Because once you know that, if the mind is pure, it is happiness, it is peace, then the mind inclines. All the effort will be channeled towards that. So, a peaceful mind, a pure mind, is actually give us a lot of happiness. You know, the gross happiness out there, once we have the subtle, these are peaceful happiness, then the pull towards a gross happiness, the happiness associated with greed, with craving, this has no grip on us, less power on us. We cannot be enslaved anymore. So this is very important. We know, I purify my mind because it gives me happiness. Because the impure mind, impurities of mind, give me suffering. This is a very important awareness from the beginning. Then, secondly, some kind of experience. If we can have remembering some kind of peaceful and pure experience, that remembering, remembering such a state is a very helpful tool, a factor for us to purify. For example, I've tried to help many meditators when they sometimes get corrupted and whatever. I try to arouse some of their, not all, not everybody, but some, they have a very innocent childhood and good, so relatively compared to adult time, my childhood mind, very simple, very pure, easily forgiving, you know. Then try to instill in them some kind of this kind of memory. So then they can feel, when I was young, when I was a boy, a girl, you know, the mind was pure, and then I don't go and suspect people so easily. I don't feel so defensive and not so much ego. The mind is, you know, get scolded by parents easily, just after that, very quickly to forgive. Then when they arouse this kind of a childhood memory, but some are very pitiful. If childhood are very bad, then cannot. Then you have to find some other way. But the idea is to bring up some memory of, or some knowledge, awareness of some pure state. Then you remember, how pure it was. Whatever state, you know, you feel, how pure it was. Some people, they don't get that. So we bring them to the seaside or to the mountainside or to the maybe Himalaya. Then sitting down there, for some reason, some people, they go to the seaside beach, the mind, pure mind arise. Some kind of purity. And sometimes you go to the mountain, some people, the pure state arise. Different experience. Some people, we bring them, take a walk under the starry nights. They feel, the pure, how nice and peaceful, how pleasant it is. And then, once they have this feeling, then we can tell them, you see, when the mind is pure, it is happy. A pure mind is happy mind. How nice. So this kind of, you feel a motivation. I can have a pure mind. A pure mind is happiness. So some kind of experience is helpful. So if you can remember it and cherish it in your mind, this helps you a lot for your purification. The mind incline. Because peaceful mind is happy mind, to incline. Then you can realize that pure mind is happy mind. Then you start to have an inclination to strive purer. If how nice if I can be purer. How nice if I can be purer. These are very important. Many people neglect this. This simple skill. Very simple, small skill. But very helpful. You try to do that. Try to do that. You know? Then you got the motivation. Actually, our mind, to purify the mind, is not really that difficult. You know why? Some people say purifying our mind is very difficult. I say not. Not really that difficult. Yes, you say to uproot, maybe you need to go very big step. But just to keep the mind pure, it's only one moment. It is only one moment. Because you cannot purify the past mind, and you cannot purify the future mind. Right or not? You can only purify the mind here and now, this moment. So that means all you can do is only one moment. How difficult can it be? It cannot be very difficult. It's only one moment. But if you force yourself to purify your mind 1 hour, for your meditation, you find so much a bigger struggle. Oh, so hard it is. You know, because the mind is caught by the time frame. If the mind is caught by a very long or big time frame, then it is a burden in the mind. But if we just remind ourselves, just this one moment only, this moment only, all I need to do is just work hard this moment, purify the mind this moment only. You notice your meditation becomes so much easier. So much easier. Just this moment only. Don't feel, oh, I have to purify a long time. Just this one moment, I purify my mind. Then one moment, then your mind get purified. Not too difficult. All you need to do is really incline. You really wish to purify. That's why just now the first two, the beginning, the factor is very important. Knowing that pure mind brings happiness and having some memory of a pure state, the peace and happiness from the pure mind, this become a motivator for you. Then all you need to do is just work hard this present moment only. Every moment is a completely fresh moment. Just not a lot of wandering thoughts, a lot of bad thoughts. Never mind. This is a completely fresh moment. This is a fresh opportunity. Nobody can deprive my mind to make best use of this fresh opportunity, except myself. If I want to throw away this opportunity, then finish. If I don't want, I want to cherish this present opportunity, who can destroy our present opportunity? Cannot. Nobody can destroy this moment. This is the second thing. Then the next. Well, if you only focus only in this moment, just mindfulness is enough. Because when you pay attention mindfully, you are mindful in this present moment, moment to moment only. You notice you don't suffer by just now I made a mistake, you know, well, whatever. Oh, just now I have a bad thoughts. You just don't get troubled because this moment only. So you are completely, every moment is fresh opportunity for you. But sometimes, still, for some reason, you know, if you have some work tension, some, you know, a lot of project pending, you know, to be finished, then it is really not easy. At that time, even you want to focus on this present moment fully, but you have difficulty. You have difficulty. Because the mind doesn't want to focus here and now. Because of pulled away by worries, pulled away by concern for future, pulled away by concern for others, for everything. Then, at this stage, you need wise attention. Yonisu manasikara. Basically, wise attention associated with three levels I can see. One is associated with thinking. Wise attention associated with thinking. Then the other type is wise attention during samatha meditation when you don't think. Just focus on the nimitta or focus on meditation object. The other wise attention is your mind. Focus on the vipassana stage and then just see the change. Samatha stage, you try not to see the change. Vipassana stage. Okay? Yes, so wise attention applicable for vipassana training. then if the mind takes Nibbana as object, there's also wise attention there. So now, when you just try to focus fully in this present moment, you find you are not able. You are pulled away by very clear factor, like worry. Worry about children, worry about your own health, about parents. Then, some reflection. Cintamayapanya is necessary. But how to apply cintamayapanya, thinking wisdom? Then you make sure you train yourself first, give yourself the suttamayapanya, hearing. That's why hearing Dhamma talk, reading books, Dhamma book, these are very helpful. So that you have the material for your thinking. If you don't have, for example, if you don't have wise attention in your dictionary, up here, then you don't know how to apply. But if you have the, this is wise attention, this is unwise attention, this is this is impure mind, this is pure mind, then it's very easy. You know, if you don't even recognize that, you must have this capital. You know, some people, they don't know that sadness is impure. They don't know. They don't know sadness is a cause of suffering. Some people, they don't know that fear is a cause of suffering. Some people, they think jealousy is okay. They don't think jealousy is a problem. So, the mind cannot be pure because they don't even know these are the impure factors in the mind. Some people, they don't think proud is wrong. I am proud of you. I feel very proud of this, proud of that. People like to use this kind of term. But in the Buddhist understanding, even this kind of pride is no good. For example, you say, I am proud of my teacher, or I'm proud of my organization, I'm proud of my country, I'm proud of my race. So if people start to do something to your country, you know, let's say, I'm proud of my football team. So if that football team lose a game, you see, all this, it become a cause. The cause of this pride actually comes up to attack you. You feel bad. So people need to know, this is a impure mind. This is a pure mind. So you must have some knowledge. Knowledge. Once you have the knowledge, then you start to apply in your real life, or before you meditate, or during your meditation, if you need. So this knowledge is important. Then you apply wise attention together with this wise reflection. You know? So this is not so good for me. So this I should let go. Then, for example, worry. So if you worry, then you just ask yourself, can worry help in any way? No, it cannot help. Can worry improve my efficiency to solve problem? No. Can worry work hand in hand with my wisdom? No. Can worry enable me to regard things, to treat things, to respond to situation with loving kindness and compassion? No. This kind of knowledge you must have. If you don't have this knowledge, you can't even come to this kind of reflection. You must have a knowledge, right? Knowing that all akusala citta, all unwholesome consciousness can never exist together in a thought process with wholesome consciousness, wholesome mental states. Never. So this understanding is very important. If I want to purify my mind, then I must recognize these are the defilements. Pride, jealousy, stinginess, ego, all these are defilements. So then, the wise attention reflect. These causes of suffering, these defilements, can they help? No. So if they cannot help, well, in life, as a Buddhist, we always try to make situation better and make our life better and not worse. So these causes of suffering, these impure states, they never help. They never help. Never make our life better, and only for worse only. Only for worse. But some people, they don't understand this. For example, the King Napoleon, he liked to use his anger to tame his enemy. You know that? When he went off for somebody came, for negotiation,
He exploit people. He took advantage of anger. You could just suddenly get angry and shout. And so until people get tame and so afraid of him and have to sign an agreement or a treaty or whatever. So this anger is thought as a factor of success, but not. From the point of cause and effect, you get a lot of anger, then you die early. You know, it's definitely, when this ripen as a vipaka, as a result, it's definitely causing you more suffering only. So, for convenience sake, you know, you think, well, if I get angry, I got what I want. But this is not true. It's just like you rob people and then you get what you want. But it's not. Robbing is making us poor, not making us. Stealing, robbing is a cause for poverty, is not a cause for wealth. But people got the wrong cause and effect relationship. So they think, by doing this, I can get that. But this is not correct. So we need to understand this very clearly. Once we understand it very clearly, then our knowledge is sufficient. Then reflect, okay, if it is not helpful for me, then it's easy to let go. Because all of us love ourselves. We want our life to be better and we don't want to be worse. So, if you have a very clear mind, no, this is making things worse. No, it's making things worse. You remember, no, I'm not going to make things worse. I'm not going to harm myself. So, if you are very clear about this, and then this love of ourselves can come to our help, they're not too difficult. Because by the time actual operation is only one moment. But when you why this one moment of purification becomes so difficult for people? Because of lack of understanding. So the mind cannot apply wise attention. So when you have a lot of understanding, you develop a lot of panya parami by reading, listening to talk, associating with the wise and meditation, then you find this become a support for you to apply your mind for purification this single moment. So all your understanding becomes a support for one single moment. Then it wouldn't be difficult. One single moment only. And moment to moment. Then if you can do that, used by a reflection, then it becomes so helpful. For example, anger also. If greed, you just reflect on impermanence, all will come to pass. You know, I enjoy then this endless pursuit. I have to run after this kind of a pleasurable object again and again. Then if you are aware that, no, this is not good, then you can get out of it. No, cannot let go. Then anger, well, it just reflects, some reflection is very helpful. No need to go to very high dharma, just common sense. All beings die. All of us will die. If you are aware that we die, then why get angry with people? You get angry with the person, you try to have even the intention to murder the person, to kill the person. But if you think that, these people all will die. Now, if you kill the person, then this is so bad. You create such a big thing. You know, all will die. So this awareness make us easy to forgive and let go. Very pitiful now that the world is so confused. You know, people got so much hatred for each other. You know, so much bias, prejudice. You know, so bad. Sometimes if we have the wise attention, if you are aware, you know, this is what is, by the time when you are doing it, if you are aware also, the cause and effect also, you know, then usually we have a very powerful restraining, natural restraint. Just because I'm not aware of the consequence, you know. So we go by feeling. That is how our mind go wrong. If we are aware of cause and effect. So this one also has to do with our Dharma knowledge. Our Dharma, listening to Dharma. If you are very clear about cause and effect of everything, so when you do the causes, you are aware that what results are going to come. Then, naturally, the mind will work on the right cause and doesn't want to work on the wrong causes. Even though you have a strong desire or strong pull of feeling, but if you, well, it's not too difficult. if you have an intention you want to purify, and you really work on one moment, not too difficult. But so these two must come together, you know. You must be aware of that you should work on the right cause in this moment. You should work on the pure mind. You should let the mind be pure. Then you must have the... And then the next is you just work on one moment. Then you can do. Then you can do. So today I watched a video clip, you know, of the police in America killing the blacks and got into big problem, you know. So the girlfriend of the victim actually, when everything was happening, she was shooting the live stream, the video using her handphone. So it's very beautiful. I saw, these people, if they, I don't know what will happen to the cop, but it's definitely not going to be good for him. See, 4 bullets and shoot people. So I was reflecting. He realized the consequence he had to face, you know. You see, then later in the riot, you know, people killed four or five policemen got killed because out of this incident. You see? So bad. People revenge, fighting, you know. So they don't understand what they are doing, what they were doing, you know. So very bad. So if everyone know what price they are going to pay when they do something, definitely they don't want to do harmful thing to themselves. Definitely. Surely. So this cause and effect awareness become a support. You know, these are background knowledge and background condition for us to support our ability, our mind to be able to work on one moment. So we have to do this in our usual training. Then by the time things happen and things come, then we only work on one moment, not too difficult. Still, you may still encounter difficulty because certain defilements are, they say, you know, meditators say, yeah, Bhante, I know I reflect already, but it comes up too quickly. Naturally, you say, I don't want to think of the bad things, but it just jump up in my thought. So when that happens, that means sometimes even reflection is not enough already because the mindfulness is not powerful enough to keep to one moment. Then some kind of a concentration training is necessary. For example, metta. Because when the metta, the mind just focus on one, may all beings be well, happy and peaceful, or maybe be free from hatred and be free from mental suffering, physical suffering, or they'll take care of themselves happily and they're in a happy state of mind. Whatever good wishes you have, then the mind, because of the good state, it becomes a support. Then the mind, because a happy mind is easier, closer